Would you pray with me? God, we are willing to follow along with you. By your word and your spirit, please give us the bread we need to be strong for the journey. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Stories open our minds to new ideas and different perspectives, with power to spark emotions and inspire change. For centuries, stories have challenged us, and storytellers have helped us make sense of our world. Jesus told stories that literally turned ideas about life, love, and faith upside down and changed the world forever.
Hi, good morning. I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm glad you're here. In your bulletin, you'll find a brand new, hot off the presses, GPS, Grow, Pray, and Study guide. They're tied into the message. There's a place for you to take notes so you can reflect on this message later on in the week. And it's a great way to remind yourself of God's provision and care and calling in your life. I hope you've taken up that habit. We're in a sermon series, and we're looking at the parables of Christ that turned the world upside down. They challenged the way that we think about the meaning of life. They challenged our understanding of religion. The parable that we're looking at today really did that. What's going on in this parable that I just read to you is there's a religious expert, we call the Pharisees. They were a religious leaders in their community, and they were very committed to religious practices. And he went to the temple to pray, and another man showed up. He was a tax collector, not very religious, not considered in a profession that would be holy. In fact, most people stereotype them as unholy. The Pharisee's prayer, according to Jesus, was one of listing off all the things that he was doing right. He was fasting twice a week. He was giving 10%. There he was in the temple, praying on a regular basis, and thanking God that he wasn't unholy like other people. The tax collector, on the other hand, couldn't even lift up his eyes, didn't approach the front of the temple or get any closer than he needed to. He stood back by the door, didn't want to get too close to the Holy of Holies, and just confessed that I am not who you want me to be. I'm falling short of the calling that you've placed on your life. Please, please forgive me. The turn in the parable that would have shocked people is when Jesus said, I tell you, the tax collector went down to his home justified, not the Pharisee, not the person that was doing all the right religious things. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. So what do you think Jesus is trying to communicate there about religion? About faith. When people say that they hate religion, they hate religious people, you know what I think they're really saying? I think they're saying, I hate self-righteousness. I hate it when people think that they're better than other people. When they get all puffed up and prideful. Who are they to judge me? Isn't that what the Pharisee's doing? He's judging everybody around him because they're not like him. Self-righteousness is having a very high opinion of yourself, your beliefs, your practices, valuing them as better than other people. What God wants is a humble heart, according to Christ, not a self-righteous attitude. So what's wrong with self-righteousness? Well, think of the last self-righteous person you hung around for any period of time. What is it about self-righteousness that just rubs us the wrong way? It's easier to see self-righteousness in other people than in ourselves. We all have a level of self-righteousness in ourselves. But let's just talk about the other person for a while, because we can see it in them a lot easier than we can see it in ourselves. What is it about that sense of superiority? You see, the way that a self-righteous person goes through life is they're constantly comparing to everybody around them. Think of your average teenager going into the high school and having to decide, she's cute, she's not. He's hot, he's not. He's smart, she's not. You're always evaluating. And what we don't realize, maybe subconsciously, is that we're evaluating ourselves and where we fall into the pecking order. And when you get into a social situation, that creates a lot of anxiety when we're living self-righteously, because what we're always trying to do is elevate ourselves. We want other people to realize we're a lot cooler than we look. That's really always been my goal in life. A lot hotter than you think I am. A lot smarter than you think I am. Rather than just being ourselves. You know, this parable ties in well with something that's really important in our church, that our church is not a museum for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. We're addressing that issue again, aren't we? Why are we here? To parade our righteousness in front of other people? Or to continue to work on the things that we know aren't right in our life? It's not wrong to do the things that the Pharisee was talking about. Fasting, praying, giving, being generous. That's all good. It's just we're not supposed to be keeping a list of those things and comparing them to everybody else. It's what we focus on. It's a matter of focus. Am I focusing on confession and repentance? In recovery programs, we call taking other people's inventory. It's not okay to take other people's inventory. Say, you know, he does this, 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 and this. She does this, 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 and this. Well, what do you do? Christ would want to know, what do you do? Let's start there. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and he abandoned legalism. In Colossians, the second chapter, there's a description of why he got away from. So don't let anyone, said the Apostle Paul, judge you about eating or drinking. These are list things, right? About a festival that you kept or you didn't keep, a new moon observance or Sabbaths. These religious practices are only a shadow of what was coming. The body that casts the shadow is Christ. Don't let anyone who wants to practice harsh self-denial and worship angels rob you of the prize. They go into great detail about what they have seen in visions and have become unjustifiably arrogant by their selfish way of thinking. They don't stay connected to the head. The head nourishes and supports the whole body through the joints and the ligaments, so the body grows with a growth that is from God. If you died with Christ to the way that the world thinks and acts, why do you submit to rules and regulations as though you were living in the world? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. That's legalism. All these things cease to exist when they are used. Such rules are human commandments and teachings. They look like they are wise with this self-made religion and their self-denial by the harsh treatment of the body, but they are no help against indulging in selfish, immoral behavior. Paul said, it doesn't work. I dedicated my life, said Paul, to living a righteous life by following the law. And it doesn't work. It doesn't lead to righteousness. it leads to legalism, to pride, spiritual pride. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we abandon all that. We claim the righteousness of Christ for ourselves as people who need that mercy, that grace, that forgiveness that he made available on the cross for us. We admit we're not enough. The Pharisee's not admitting he's not enough. He's saying, I've got it covered. His prayer is an echo chamber to himself. See how wonderful I am? The tax collector's prayer is to God. I need you. Without you, I'm not much. Thank you for your grace. There's a professor that wrote about Paul's abandonment of legalism. What presumably accounts for the intensity of this internal struggle is Paul's extraordinary commitment to the Pharisaic ethic of legalism, which drove him to seek aspirations he could never achieve, namely faultless obedience to the law. When he failed to attain this objective, perfection, he began to doubt the validity of his endeavor and questioned the law as a source of righteousness. He never could attain perfection, can you? Who are the most tortured people in the world? Perfectionists. There's nothing wrong with having a high standard for your work, a high standard for your behavior. But there isn't anybody in this room that's perfect. We need to be humble about ourselves and the struggles that other people have, including ourselves. So what's the attitude that we're supposed to adopt? Well, the tax collector is modeling for us, according to Christ, the attitude that we're supposed to adopt. I saw an old Saturn automobile ad that I think makes a good point. Would you give your attention to the screen?
We don't see sheet metal. We see the people who may one day drive them. Introducing the redesigned L, the View, and the all-new Ion. It's different in a Saturn.
We see the people. We don't see the car. I think when Jesus looked at people, he saw the people first. Before he saw anything that they said, anything that they did, he just saw the people. What do you think the Pharisees saw when they looked at others? Competition? In so many different ways, Jesus was saying the same thing. Don't focus on the outside. Focus on the inside. If you focus on the inside, the outside will take care of itself. Remember how when Samuel was picking the next king after Saul, all the brothers of Jesse were lined up. He said, when he picked David, the smallest, runtiest one in the bunch, you all look at the outside, but God looks at the inside. In this text on John 8:7, Jesus said it this way. They continued to question him, so he stood up and he replied, whoever hasn't sinned should throw the first stone. Hey, anybody here that is without sin, you can judge all the rest of it. I give you permission. Right now, go ahead, stand up. No takers? That was Jesus' point. Everybody has sin. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 23 through 26, it says it this way. Jesus said, "How terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give to God a tenth of mint, dill, cumin, but you forget about the more important matters of the law, justice, peace, and faith. You ought to give a tenth, but without forgetting about those more important matters. You blind guides, you filter out an ant but swallow a camel. How terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of violence and pleasure seeking. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of the cup will be clean too." What should we focus on? On others' behaviors? On other people's attitudes? Oh, Jesus said, start with yourself. Take your own inventory every day. Humble confession and repentance is what we focus on. Another way that Jesus put it was in Matthew 7, 1 through 4. I'm reading a lot of scripture, but I want to make a point. This is a very consistent theme that Christ had in addressing legalism. Jesus said, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see the splinter that's in your brother or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or your sister, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' when there's a log in your eye?" It's a ridiculous picture, isn't it? Somebody with a log in their eye, "Hey, come here, I think I see pardon my log that keeps bumping you here." But Jesus said it's absurd for us. Does that mean that managers shouldn't evaluate, that officers shouldn't do fitness reports? No, of course not. A good manager, a good officer is saying, "Hey, I see you doing these things well. These are some things that we could work on." That's a part of discipleship making. Does that mean that we don't have differences of opinions about politics, about different matters of the day? Of course not. But like the ad that I showed you, one of the things that we're trying to do is have an open mind. Tell me what your opinion is. Why do you think the way that you think? I'm not sure that I think that that's true. It hasn't been true in my experience. That's okay to have those conversations. It's the spiritual one-upsmanship that Christ is attacking. When we talk about the horrors of religion that we have meted out in the world, it is because of spiritual pride. There are times within the church history, whether it was instigated by a pope or by a Protestant religious zealot, and a commitment to holiness, which isn't bad, it often evolves into self-spiritual pride. Just one example, John Calvin, leader in the church, they had the opportunity in Switzerland and in their movement to establish a new order. We established an order that would make the Taliban look like slackers. No dancing. No drinking, no music, no statues, no pictures, no jewelry, no makeup. One woman was thrown in jail for 4 days because her hair had grown too long. No naming of children other than biblical names. One man named his son Claude, and he got thrown in jail for 4 days. These are the funny ones. One child struck his parents and he was beheaded. One woman, a single mom, was found pregnant. She was drowned. Men and women that were caught in adultery were executed. See, when we try to make bring heaven to earth through legalism, we create hell. It always ends up in this sort of red terror. Christ is attacking spiritual pride, legalism, self-righteousness, and say it doesn't work. It doesn't get us to the end game like Paul was saying. Grace does. Humility does. He's saying clean up your own act before you start cleaning up everybody else's act. This next video, I'm showing you a lot of videos, but this one was so good I couldn't pass it up. It just makes such a great point. Give your attention to the screen. What window are you looking out of every day? Are you looking out a window of criticism and judgmentalism? Or are you looking out a window of grace? God really isn't interested in our self-righteousness, our legalism. God's interested in humble hearts, teachable hearts. Our love, our devotion, our loyalty in response to God's love and devotion and loyalty to us. Amen.